This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and I am so pleased to have with us in the studio today Janice Steele, who is an acting commander and the coordinator of the Community Paramedicine Program with Lanark County Paramedic Services. Thank you so much for being here, Janice.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You're very welcome. We spoke to you a while back about fundraising and some of the interesting things that you do to give back to the community, sort of outside of the paramedicine realm. And that was a very interesting conversation. But then we decided we wanted to delve a little deeper into this paramedicine that is happening now, because it is really, it's an expansion of what paramedics can do, but it's a huge step up when it comes to healthcare.
That's right. So it is community paramedicine, and the concept of that has really been gaining traction across Ontario for the last 10 years. And it seemed to stem from a report that was published in around 2012 talking about, you know, seniors aging in place safely, and the ministries, Ministry of Health and Ministries of Long-Term Care, you know, took these strategies and started investing in pilot programs across Ontario. And here we are today. We're, you know, I think all but two services have some form of community paramedicine in Ontario. So
it's amazing. And this has gone on in other countries as well.
That's right. The UK and places like Australia have really been leaders. So we do look to them to best practices and what sorts of things that we can, you know, do in the future.
So what is it? I mean, we look at the title, paramedicine.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, it sounds like it's medical services on wheels.
Well, it is. So yeah, community paramedicine is really about using paramedics and their skills in a non-traditional way. So, you know, paramedics are really, or 911 paramedics are very reactive in the treat and transport model, but community paramedics is looking at a more proactive or mitigative model of care. So, you know, looking at ways that we can mitigate or divert some of the 911 calls, or mitigate or divert people from the emergency rooms, try to prevent some hospital readmissions. And because one of our, because the long-term care provides some of the funding, we're really focusing on providing supports to people that are on the long-term care wait list to stay safely in their home longer, and sometimes even defer or delay their long-term care admissions.
It's so cool, because you look at most people who become paramedics, they're getting in there and they're doing that reactionary type mm-hmm. that you were talking about. And you're just such wonderful, caring people. I know that if you have the opportunity to do more to help prevent those, as you just discussed, that you'd all jump on it. So it's really a different perspective for you folks as well, and it opens new doors.
It is. It's like switching hats, you know, from that reactive model to this proactive model. But our motto is really to provide or facilitate the right care to the right patient at the right time, and most importantly, in the right place, because the emergency department is not always the most appropriate place to receive, you know, non-acute care. So that's what we're out there doing in the community.
That's amazing too, and especially with the, and we're not going to get into it, but with the issues with the emergency departments, the local ones that have had to close for a night here and there and so on and so forth, keeping those people who, as you say, don't need to go there, keeping them out and getting them still the treatment that they need, that's only going to help with mm-hmm. that situation.
That's right. And I want to stress that we're not, you know, our program is not looking to duplicate services that are already out there. Like it's more to identify gaps in the healthcare system and then be able to step up and provide those services in a different way, so that people have a different choice or a different place to receive care, mainly in their home.
So not to put you on the spot, but could you maybe, you know, give us a couple of examples of the types of people who would be receiving paramedicine?
So mostly our program focuses on the aging population, seniors, but we also have some other things that we do to divert other people from the emergency department that we can talk about. But mostly for our clientele, of which we have about 1,200 rostered, some of the services we provide are being able to do in-home point-of-care blood work, in-home point-of-care urinalysis. We do chronic disease education and health coaching. We use remote patient monitoring to be able to trend vitals of patients, so that, you know, there isn't a chronic disease exacerbation that lands them in the hospital. you know, we work really closely with all kinds of other social services, home and community care, local physicians, nurse practitioners, pharmacists, just so that we all work together to provide these supports to patients.
And that was actually where I was going to go next, because we know that there's this huge umbrella. There's so many different organizations, community services, doctors, nurses, practitioners, and so on that work together to provide that healthcare. That kind of support net must be huge when you're talking about a service like this. It's still relatively new.
That's right. We're really trying to break down those silos, and we found that working together, you know, we're better together if we all come together. We all have different unique perspectives and skill sets, and you know, we're not doing this alone. We may go and do treatments for patients, but we also refer to other services that patients might not have known even existed, like dietitians or foot care or the diabetic clinic. So that just really helps. We all work together just to try to alleviate some of the burdens on the healthcare system.
I think that's it's absolutely wonderful. It's a great service. Talk to me a little bit about the training and the education that you need to do this, because as we mentioned, this is sort of taking on a whole different skill set here.
Yeah, well, we're still in our infancy, and our community paramedics are paramedics. You know, they've all gone to college and have the diploma, but we are looking at specific education that is relative or relevant to what we're doing. So some things like, you know, geriatric care or things, different medications that we have to know about, and being able to fall risks and things like that. I know that the colleges are starting to introduce community paramedicine as a component of their modules, because it really is the way of the future.
And when you look down the road and saying this is the way of the future, do you think it's going to have a huge impact on communities, well, such as the ones that we serve here?
Well, I think it's a win-win for everybody, not just for the clients that we serve, but also for the community at large, because if we can do these mitigative strategies and diversions and give people the supports to stay at home safely and receive the care they need, then when people do have those true emergencies and need the 911 system and they need the emergency room, then, you know, they're not overburdened. So
absolutely. How do people get involved? Like, do they need to be referred by their family physician or nurse practitioner?
Well, traditionally, we had our patients were referred to us through physicians or nurse practitioners, but recently we started accepting self-referrals, or if you're a caregiver or a family member of a person that you think could benefit, you can refer to our program. And probably the easiest way is the good old-fashioned telephone, which is to call our office at 613-205-1010, and our office admin Melanie will be happy to speak to you. But we also share a website with the Eastern Community Paramedics Group, and it's www.communityparamedics.ca. And there's a button there, find support, and you simply type in your address and it will connect you to the appropriate community paramedic resource.
That could be amazing for someone who doesn't, you know, have a doctor anymore, like their doctor may have retired or something, and they need this ongoing care.
That's right.
Amazing.
Or even if you're a family member of someone who lives like in Kawartha Lakes and you don't know how to get in touch with them, you can use this website and it will take you to their program.
Amazing. This is fantastic. Will you come back and give us an update on it as it progresses?
I would love to.
We'd love to have you. Thank you so much. Is there anything that we didn't mention that you wanted our listeners to know?
I just really want to reiterate that, you know, community paramedics is such a great program, not only because of what we're doing currently, but just, you know, what we can do in the future. You know, the sky is the limit in terms of things that we can do to address the gaps in our system.
Well, let's keep getting the word out and let people know this amazing stuff that you're doing. And thank you to you and all of our other paramedics. I know I've had to use the service myself a couple of times, and you folks are wonderful. You really are. So I know even people who haven't used the service would just like to say a big thank you for all that you do for the people in Lanark County and beyond.
That's great to hear. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Our guest today on In Focus, Janice Steele, who is an acting commander and coordinator of the Community Paramedics Program with Lanark County Paramedics. It has been a joy to speak with her. We'll have another edition for you tomorrow. If you missed part of that interview and you want to hear it, don't worry. We're going to be putting it up on Lanark Leads Today in a little while. So check back there. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition.